Cindy, Yanis, Felipe, Abigail, you're most welcome to share. We're so happy to see you here. Felipe, good morning. How do you do? How is the season changing in Brazil?
Hello, Eti.
Hello, good morning.
Good evening, Eti. How do you do?
Fine, happy to be here with you.
Yes, yes. I'm glad also. I'm also glad. And here the weather is becoming colder, mm-hmm. and a bit just a chilly in the morning, and it starts to warm up, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice season. I love it because here where I am standing now, I am seeing trees and an open sky. And in the summer, the sun is too strong, too heat, mm-hmm. too much heat in this room, let's say. So I like these seasons, fall and spring. I like them. So it's nice here at tea, and I was listening yesterday to last conversation about Tohu Vavohu, and it was very inspiring and reminded. It's always good. I was glad to hear also Abigail's speech, what she told in the session. It was very, very, very good, and I was happy to hear you. And it makes me think, A.T., about this, about the time, you know, because even though I was listening yesterday, I felt very present in the moment. And it's funny because we have this permanent and you know, this scheduled conversations, and at some point you are hearing what just was said in another day, but it really doesn't matter too much, you know, because we feel that we are present in the moment, and every moment is eternal. So this experience, it's beautiful to participate in this experience. So I'm just glad to be here, Eti. Glad to see all your friends here. Cindy, Yanis, Jill, Abigail. And that's it, Eti. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Today we were listening to music in the morning, later in the afternoon, and someone says, you know, some musicians, they don't know where they come from. So sad. They play music, but they don't know the origin. And I said, you know what, also those who know their origin, so to speak, in brackets, they were told, but both are not important. And not just about musicians. Those who don't know what happened to the former generations, or where their grandparents came from, or those who know, so to speak, or they were told that their grandparents or ancestor came from, it's unimportant. Because it's a narration. It is just consciousness that comes and appears in space and time. Because the one who said it, he says, so sorry for those musicians, they're just playing music and they don't know where they're from. And I said, you know what, also those who, not just musicians, those who seemingly know, in brackets, and were told where they're coming from, it's irrelevant. It's just irrelevant for the moment to live. Because nothing is dependent on any kind of a story that was told. In the moment, there is life. In the moment, there is a breath. And all the rest, it does not matter. The narration is many times caused people a lot of troubles, a lot of heaviness. A way that it is impossible to carry. We are not created to carry such a load. Self-narration is a lot of load. Most of it is not right, but it's still heavy and unnecessary stuff to carry around us. So drop the story about self-narration. Wherever we are, wherever, so to speak, people were born, and the story that comes with them, because once there's appearance also attached to it, a story, there is no need to attach to those stories whatsoever. Yes, Yanis. Yes, Yanis. Yanis is writing, I like to understand this Hebrew verse from Proverbs 29:11. How does a fool, yes, all of his spirit, yes, yes. See what the Hebrew says? How does a fool spend it all his spirit, and as translated, the wise steals is it within him. Yes. So what would you like to understand? What is not understood? The fool man will chip and chat and get mad and get angry and take all the breath that he has, take it out. Yes? Oh, okay, okay. So I see. I shall read the Hebrew. Kol ruho. Kol is all. Ruho, his spirit. Yotzi ksil. A stupid, a foolish man will blow out his spirit. What does it mean? He will chip and chat and will be angry. When we are angry, or when there's like anger causes a lot of tap, taking a lot of steam out. Yes? So a fool man will do all of this, will spread this spirit out. Yes, but a wise man will not do this. He will do the opposite. There is like taking out, this is what a fool man is doing, and like conserve inside, this is what the wise man will do. Is it clear? To spend, we say in English, to spend money, to scatter money, yes? So a foolish man, a fool, will scatter his spirit. Chippy chip, chippy, chippy, how do you say, chip chat, blah, blah, blue, blah, blah, blue. Spirit is something inner. So a fool man will spread it out. He has no appreciation for the spirit. But a wise man has appreciation for it. So he will cherish it inside, in stillness, in quiet. Yes? Many people are speaking. There is a spirit. Good question. It is, in a way, they are like there is a spirit that connects to the nefesh. This is a lower part of our existence, which is falling all the time, because nefesh mathematically is 3, 5, 8. So when there's like mechanical speech, so it is scattered. So this is why, in a way, a foolish man will scatter, he will speak, because when we speak, the words are going out. They need air. But the foolish man will scatter this resource. This is a low kind of speech. It is speech, but very low. And it is scattered, like we say in English, scattered mind. In Hebrew, there is a term that says pizur nefesh, scattered nefesh, that all the lower part of existence are spread all over. So it is like a person who spreads money. If spirit, let's take it as parallel to something dear, not just money. So if it is important to you, you keep it inside. This is wisdom. But if the spirit is not, and a spirit is not just, a spirit is very thin. It is expressing very delicate things to those who noticed. But to those who don't, for them is nothing. So this is why they scattered it in chatting, in gossiping, in mechanical, useless speech. This is a mental activity. Yes? Is it understood? A little. Felipe, Abigail, Cindy, Jill, did you understand? Did you understand what the verse is saying? A wise man will not scatter his energy on mechanical speech, of chatting of mechanical things happening in life. Who would like to speak? Abigail, Jill, would you like to unmute and speak? Yes, Jill?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
I think it's, for one, I think it's awesome that Giannis had brought this up. But to me, it kind of means that you're just spinning out all your energy. Yes. On something that's not really gonna bring any type of encouragement or edification. It's something that, like you said, that's really important, that, you know, you'll keep it inside. You won't go and waste it and just randomly talking about it. Even if you have like life situations, the more you kind of, I would say, complain about it, it makes it seem like everything is worse, versus, you know, if you just kind of quiet yourself and just trust that it's, you know, it's going to work itself out, then It just seems like that would be the wiser thing to do, because definitely spending time on just talking about it and being angry about it, it will never, never get us anywhere. So that's just what my take is on it.
Thank you. Excellent. This is it. This is it. This is it. And the Hebrew says, "V'chacham ba'achor yeshivena." Ba'achor is backwards, but it's an image of using an arrow and a bow. Yes? In order to shoot, first you take back. You don't release any arrow outside. Words are like arrows, that you shoot them from the bow. The bow is the mouth. The arrow is the tongue. Yes, this is the image. But a wise man does not shoot the arrows outside. Doesn't scatter the. There is no use in it. So he keeps it back. Like you take the arrow once you take. This is the movement, yes, of the archer. First you take it back, take things back, like what happens to Joseph with the wife of Potiphar. He just pulled back. Yes, and for this pulling back, his father, Jacob, greeted him. Yes, in Genesis 49, in the chapter of blessing to the children of Jacob, Jacob relates to the fact that he was pulling back, not going forward. So there's a lot of wisdom in it to pull back, not to go out and spread unnecessary stuff that will scatter your brain, like if this is the only reality, it's not. So this is the advice, to keep it back. Yeshivena comes from Lashevet, to return, to sit from settled mind, but also to return it back to the origin, to return. Wise man always returns to the origin. To go out is to go out to space and time, to the manifestation. Everything is there shaking and just bubble like a hot soup. But the wise man pulls back to the noumenon, to the source, to the origin, to the stillness. This is what wise man does. And this is sanity. Thank you, Yanis, for asking this question. Many people, and it happens that there are situations in life that just happens to, it happens, yes, that people think that they more will reflect it by using words, the more it will help them, but it's not. It's just better not to invest too much interest in and attention in those things. It's just appearing, and the other day they disappear. Temporal things. Temporal. So the stupid looks at the temporal and scatters his energy about temporal things. Today they're here, tomorrow they're not. But a wise man does not do it. Because the wise man never lives in the temporal. He never. This is why the verse says to pull back. Yes, this is what also Joseph did in Egypt, to pull back. At the moment, there is a temporal temptation. It's funny because temporal and temptation almost temporal temptation. Temporal temptation. Please pay attention to the letters, almost similar. So there was a temporal temptation, but he pulled back to the noumenon, not to participate in the current moment with the current happening, not to participate, just pull back. This is a wise man behavior. This is why Jacob loved Joseph. Because he was wise. He was wise. Wise man takes it back, doesn't play his cards, doesn't show everything. We live in an era that everything is to be seen, everything we can show, everything is on camera. A few days ago I saw teenagers in the bus, they were holding their phone so close to the forehead, almost gluing their phone on the forehead like if it was an Indian drop, you know. Just, and all the time they look into this camera of themselves, because the phone has a camera, yes. So they sit with an open camera, they move, and they look how they look. All the time they are busy with the looks. Like if it's real, it's not. Yes. I don't understand, Yanis, the question. This is just a description of how wise men behaves and how a foolish man scatters his life on external things and external happening, external. A wise man does not waste his resources on temporal things. He is not invested in temporal things, seasonal things. He's not invested in it at all. At all. A wise man is never invested in the manifestation. It's very simple. Because it changes all the time. Many people like to embrace as visible gods. They see something, they like it, and this is their gods. After 2 minutes, something happens and the god is dead. Crisis. Yes. A wise man is never invested in the manifestation. Or with gossip. Because it today appears, tomorrow disappears. Why to be invested in temporal things? Why? Just, how do you say, waste. This is just a waste of time. And we live in our times where everything is by camera. Everything is being filmed, immediately uploaded, being shared. And what people see, this is the truth. This is how people communicate. It's very poor. It's very, very poor. But this is how it is today. So the advice here, if we look into this verse and we say, what is happening today? Don't invest it too much in what is presented as video, reality, or whatever. Just an external happening. It's not even happening. It is presented as just a poster or moving pictures. I saw it 2 days ago, like two teenagers, they were sitting together looking at the phone open camera, moving their hands to see how they sit in this position, that position, this position, that position. Completely obsessed. Completely obsessed. Once in another traveling to the Carmel Mountain, there was a one with a phone. She was so invested in her looks in the phone, and she was making 360 degrees photo. I don't know what it is, the video. She forgot her station. And the last moment she noticed, she arrived and she flew from the bus. It's the opposite of being present. Yes, because everything is out. Everything is to be seen, to be colored, to be framed. And the more likes they get, the more they're invested in it. And if they don't, they really get upset. Yes, it's a life that based on lies. This is what it is. Scattered all around. This is the opposite of being present and available. That people are not available. They are occupied with something, like with a cancer. Yes? Felipe, can you read what Cindy is writing? If you want, if somebody wants to read, yes.
Sure, Eddie.
Yes.
Cindy just wrote, I think of this like walking in the spirit versus walking by what the eyes can see or desire. I don't think everyone is connected to the flow of spiritual and creative renewal, but every living thing is connected to his energy source. Maybe like a flower that's picked, it still looks beautiful, and if put in water, it can last a while longer looking alive, but it's not connected to the renewing source of the ground. It is on its way to death, even when it doesn't look like it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Rodrigo. We are happy to see you. It is how it is. People spending more and more energy, time and resources about what is happening on their screens, on the telephone, how do they look, and so making infinite selfies. Images, paintings, photos. They're not happy. They don't have space to communication at all. They're just miserable. And you see this, they're just miserable. All the time they go with the phone on the street, they photo themselves, you know. It's sad. But this is the choice of people. So, yes, so this is the advice, not to scatter the spirit, the resources that we have out all the time. Look what the other do. There are people also interested what the neighbor is doing. Yes, all the time they look from the window what the neighbor is doing. If he parked the car 3 centimeters next to the line, 4 centimeters, they're always interested in what somebody else is doing. The neighbor, the children, the brother-in-law. It's the same thing. To be invested, to show interest and attention of things. It's not of things. There is no need to be invested in all of those things. the neighbor, whether he parked his car next to the line, 3 centimeters to the line. It's really important what he said in the party about what she said in the party, to gossip over it through the phone, on the email, on a text message. This is a waste of resources. There is like a lifespan that we are visiting here. So where are we invested in? Where are we invested in? In all the time, like detecting others, what do they do? What do they say? What do they eat? How do they furnish their houses? Yes? Or just be present and available to what is happening. Those who all the time, or moments that people are detecting others, is like spending time in a chase, or always what the other does. And there's a lot of condition. Yes, what he does, what he bought, what refrigerator he bought, what a car he bought, always with the eyes outside. And when the eyes outside all the time watching, detecting, there is a conditioning. Or to just drop it, not to follow what other people are doing. Because it's irrelevant. To follow somebody else doing is like to follow your own brain. Because the brain, our brain is a body as well. To follow. Doesn't matter if you follow someone or you follow your own actions. Just waste of resources. This is the advice here, to take back. We always taught it to take care of others and to have care, that you should care what the other does, you should mind what the others are doing. No, not really. Not really. There's a beautiful, it happened, there was a great teacher, sage in India, not too long ago, and he was always looking for illumination, and he was moving between a few gurus, listening to them, attending morning sessions, and until he reached a conclusion that he asked himself, what does he want in life? Does he want illumination? He says, no, basically I would like to be happy. What is happiness? He asks himself, what is happiness? He would like to have harmonious relations with the other, whether the other is a neighbor or a friend. And this is what he wanted. And once he understood it, he stopped chasing, visiting gurus and reading books, and he was available for conversation. And after he had this insight or understanding, people started visiting his home in India to listen to him. They came every day. His house was open every day for 2 hours, every day, 7 days a week, for conversations. And just people came from all over the world to speak to him. And he shared with them, and there's like a library of conversations which was recorded, and it is shared on YouTube. He's just speaking to people from his heart, sharing the life that he has or had. It's very simple. once there is a recognition of the truth, so people are available. And it's beautiful. He once published a book. Somebody read the book, knocked at the door in breakfast time and asked to stay. And he stayed for 3 days. And then came others and stayed. Yes? It is quite simple. Because when we chase after things, it doesn't matter if it's like books or seminars, whatever they promise, the attention is out, like chasing after something, like it's not inside, like an arrow looking for the target. But there's no need to do this because everything is. So there is no need to chase after it. Once we realize everything is, so the chasing stops. And there's space for conversation, for sharing. There's no need to chase after anything. But the brain, and this is something that everyone experiences, because this is how we programmed, is always comes with its temptation. You should get there. You should be there to get A, B, C, D, and so on. But everything is. And when everything is as is. Complete and beautiful. Nothing need to be achieved. Nothing need to be chased. We don't need to have those things. Our happiness or stillness. They are not dependent on having things. It is quite simple. Questions, Rodrigo, Janis, Cindy, Abigail. Yes, that's true. That's true, Abigail. That's true. Yes. We are not those conditions that we were told about, cold and warm, all of those things. Yes. Today, the day before, I heard the term in English, in bloodline, as related to inheriting, or like when there's like property that has to be handed from generation to generation according to the birthright. So they call it bloodline. Have you heard this before? Have you? Yes. What does this term hold in it, except of blood? What is the other word? Is a line. 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 Linear. So the whole terminology evolves around what? Linear thinking. Yes? Do you understand the relation between bloodline, inheritance, and linear thinking? What the eyes can see? Do you see the connection between those two? Rodrigo, can you unmute and speak? Hello, good morning. Can anyone hear Rodrigo? Cindy, can you hear Rodrigo? Because we can't. Not yet.
Hello. Hello, Eti. Yes. Can you hear me?
Now we can. Good morning. How do you do?
Sorry. I'm fine, Eti. Thank you very much. It's beautiful to be here, listen to you and Felipe, and be here with Cindy and Abigail. It's a great moment for me, Eti. Thank you very much. About the topic, this bloodline, I don't know exactly the meaning of this term. I believe that I can understood this, but I don't know exactly the meaning.
So let's ask Jill, can you explain what bloodline is? Cindy, Yanis, someone who has a notion about the term bloodline, what does it mean?
I can say what it is that I kind of grew up being told, that the bloodline was something that came down through the family of a specific bloodline, would be maybe people who you are related to. We were taught that like blessings and curses and things like that also came down through the bloodline, but I guess it was kind of like a way of being taught, like each generation inside within the family, was my understanding.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Also, if there's like, let's say there's a property and people wants to hand it over, it's, yes. To whom does it go? According to the bloodline, there's like first son, or if something happens to the son, there's another cousin or so. This is a bloodline, like it runs into the family or in the families. But it comes, why do we say even in English, bloodline? Because what it is suggesting is a line. Again, linear thinking or linear perspective. Yes, linear perspective. So it is based on what the eyes can see. Yes, so this is not holistic. This is not, in a way, what is present, but what is handed out through the generation as linear thinking. Yes. This is a very, very narrow way, yes, very narrow way to look at life through the bloodline. Very narrow way, painful way. And the proof is in the pudding, is in the language, blood line, blood line. Yes, Rodrigo?
Etienne.
Yes.
It just makes me remember something I was thinking these days, related to wine and the blood, because, you know, we have this Christian tradition about blood and wine, you know, this
yes.
relation. I don't know if it's only in Christianity, but it's very present. In the Easter, in the Pesach, let's say, Christian. And I was just playing with the numbers, and I realized that wine less the blood, when we remove the blood from the wine, we get 26. So like 70 minus 44, we get 26, if I'm not wrong. I'm not. And yes, it's interesting because when you just take off the density of the physical blood, let's say, in this beautiful symbol that it's the wine and the 70, the manifestation, when you can extract only the what stays is the being, the spirit. So I was just, it's interesting because there is a lot of let's say strong speeches about this bloodline, about this what you just said, you know. But there is, if we do not attach to the being, to the, you know, to Hashem, we only get this material way, you know, of living. We take the Aleph from the Adam and get only the blood.
Yes. That's correct, and this is beautiful.
And just the Aleph, right? It's also this 26. Just realize.
Yes, yes, yes. The Aleph is the 26. Yes. Great. Thank you for sharing. Any questions about anything? Sharing about anything?
Tea.
Yes, Rodrigo.
I understand correctly, is this bloodline would be related to ancestral family issues? Can I say like a box? It's a narrative that serves to diminish human potential. Narrow perspective, as you said.
Yes. Very well, Rodrigo. This is the, yes, it's not, yes, not just about money or, let's say, inheritance, but also about the story that it is being told or being delivered to us. Yes? Yes, Rodrigo.
Listen to you talk today about this way of life and this outline. Just came a question in my mind, and how can I say? It's another issue, but for me it's very present and very very important, and there is some connection in my mind. I notice that in Hebrew, similar to vessel, I ask, is it possible to establish a symbolic relationship between the physical organ, the kidney, clia, I believe, and a spiritual issue, the vessel, the kli?
It is interesting because kidney, kilia in Hebrew, the kidneys, they hold, they filter. Without kidneys, without one, maybe it's possible to live, but without two, not having to, it is impossible to live. So this is, there is a relation, yes, between the two. Yes. Yes. Kilia, yes. It holds the basic vitality, but as we learned also from the book, from the scroll of Ruth, one of the sons is Kilion. Kilion comes from Klaya. Klaya is extinction. Yes, and he dies. And this is the husband of Orpah. Did you get an answer, Rodrigo? Does it answer your question? Yes. Yes. It is interesting because now you ask about the vessels and the kidneys and Kilion. Kilion is the son that died. His name comes after also extinction, also referring to the kidney. And when there's like, once the kidney cannot process the liquids anymore, so this is the end. While the meaning, yes, of the name of Ruth, yes, is just from nourishing or watering. Yes, watering, it means watering. Root. From water. When we are hungry, and then we eat as much as we need, and there is a sense of satisfaction, we cannot eat. We reach a point or a level that we can eat. We cannot eat more than we ate because there is a sense of fullness, of satisfaction. So in English, we say satisfaction, or I feel full, I cannot eat anymore. In German, there is a word that says satt, means I reached a point that I cannot eat. In Hebrew, we say savea, comes from sheva, seven, it's enough. This is regarding to food. But the Hebrew also has a word that says, I have enough to drink. Meaning, I'm not thirsty. We say in English, I have a thirst or I'm thirsty, and we drink. In Hebrew, there is a word that says, I have enough to drink and I drink as much as I can. And this is, we say, raveh. Raveh. Raveh, I have enough to drink. I'm not thirsty, there is no drought. I have enough to drink, raveh. Raveh, and this is the letters of root, yes? When rave, have enough to drink, is with hay, which has the value of 5. Ruth, root, with tav, has the value of 400. Yes? Both are feminine letters. So, Ruth also means enough to drink, meaning there's enough water for the whole nature to have sustenance. Yes? So this is root with machlon, in a way parallel to the opposite couple of Kilion and Orpah. When there isn't enough water in the body, there comes a kidney situation, and this is the end, so to speak, unless if there's come interference, dialysis, and so on. You see the relation between the names? Ruth, enough water. not enough water, life danger. You have a kidney situation, yes? So there's enough water for everyone to live. This is the meaning of Ruth, enough water. This is why they say that her grandson, David, great-grandson David, he could write the psalms like the psalms could. It's like water. She was carrying this grace of water that in a way was coming later through the poetry, through the psalms of David. Poetry is like water. There's enough for everyone. It's not like when people have a, let's say, land or houses or mansions and everybody, maybe not everyone, but people usually are fighting over who will get the land, who will get the house, who will get the property and so on. So there isn't enough. And people are fighting and reach court who will get some piece of the property. Poetry does not hold this complication. It's not in the matter, it's in the spirit. So it is open to all. It is shared with all. It's boundless. Not like a property on the ground. You have 40 acres, 50 acres, 5 farms, 6 cars, 4 airplanes, and you start dividing it, yes, between the bloodlines, so to speak. In poetry, yes, there isn't such a problem. In the spirit, there is no division. And we see this idea coming through Ruth. In the spirit, there is no division. There is no mind in the spirit. Yes? In the matter, and then we come back to this verse that Janus brought in the beginning. In the matter, there is this distribution. His car, the other neighbor, his father-in-law, and there's a gossiping and speaking about others in the matter. There is division. But not in the spirit. This is why, in a way, in all traditions, there is agreement of not gossiping. Because what gossiping does is dividing the spirit into single scenes. Do you understand what the problem is with gossiping? One second. Hello, can you hear? Hello, can you hear? Thank you, thank you. I hope you can. Thank you. I would like to thank you for being here with us. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for your participation today. Wishing you a very good weekend. And see you soon on Saturday. Thank you so much.